And welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. I am Terror Rifeforce Todd, and joining me today is Tellius Tyler.
Hey, how's it going, everyone?
And Wario Will.
Easter is coming, boys. I cannot wait for more.
Stop! Yeah. Let it go, Will.
I am not letting it go. It is still coming. Easter is coming, boys.
We know, Will.
He's tormenting us with his successful...
Yeah. Yeah. He's just excited about those two eggs. Moving on. First of all, for real here, I do want to apologize because last week's podcast, if you heard it, my microphone was like acting up something terrible and we couldn't hear it. I obviously couldn't hear myself, and then the guys couldn't tell that my voice was that scratchy. And I do hate doing that to you all because I didn't know. I would have stopped and tried to fix my microphone had I known. To my knowledge, it's working well now, right, guys?
Yeah, it sounds perfect.
Yep.
Okay. So again, I do apologize for that because we do try and give you quality here on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. Speaking of which, hey, we do. Speaking of which, it's time to go into the quality games that have filled our weeks. So it's time for What Have You Been Playing? Tyler, how about you start us off?
I got something interesting for you guys this week.
Yeah,
so of course I've been playing Breath of the Wild, but that's not the interesting part. I've also actually I went on to the eShop and downloaded a game, Snake Pass. $19.99 it was. I've kind of been playing like ever since Zelda or the Switch came out. I've been playing Zelda and another game, and I kind of just have enjoyed that because, you know, it kind of stretches out my playtime of Zelda, and I get to experience all the stuff that the Switch has. And I thought, Snake Pass, it looks pretty good. I looked up some reviews, it got decent scores. I was like, I'll check it out. And I have been so surprised by how much I genuinely, like, I really like this game. And I can't believe how much I did, because I kind of just was like, it's $20. You know, maybe it'll give me a couple hours worth of fun in between Zelda. I'll check it out. And when I started playing it, the first hour, I was like, oh my god, I threw away all of my money. This game is broken. Like, you play as a snake, and you have to, you know, like, slither your way through these courses and find collectibles and stuff. It's a pretty simple concept,
right?
But the actual controlling the snake is really, really, like, really hard to get used to at first. And I just, the very first stage, because I'm this type of person that when I see a collectible, I have to go for it, they had these, like, difficult, actually, in hindsight, they weren't, but they seemed really impossible at the time, like, you know, little stunts that you'd have to perform to get bonuses. And I kept going for them. And I could not get paid. I probably spent 45 minutes on the first level just dying over and over and raging. I was like, I cannot believe I wasted my money on this. So I put the game down. I went out to dinner. I came back and I was like, okay, I'm going to try it one more time. I'm going to go back to Zelda and just go on with my life. And for literally no reason, it just clicked. Like, I couldn't tell you why it clicked. It just clicked. And all of a sudden, I was, like, slithering all over stuff and climbing up stuff and just loving this game. I wasn't planning on doing this, but now that I've pretty much beaten it, I'm at the end, I'm going to write a review for it, and I'll have it up probably by Monday.
Excellent.
So you can check the Outer Haven reviews or my Twitter handle for the review of Snake Pass. It's very, very fun. If you like, it's a puzzle platformer indie game from Suma. It's pretty fun. It's really, really good. So I've enjoyed it. Probably worth 6 hours of gameplay easily.
So I'm basically getting the impression that this is kind of like similar to Octodad in a way.
You know, that is a pretty funny comparison. I could see it because, like, the way you moved Octodad was really, really weird. And he kind of slapped around. But this game, it's more like once you get it, you know, you can move really gracefully, and it's really fun. Like, I think this game would be awesome for speedrunners. I would love to see, because when I play, even now that I've got the controls down, I'll kind of, like, herky-jerk my way around certain things and, like, kind of crane, like, his head real slow to make sure I'm doing things right. But once you, if you have it mastered, I bet you know, speedrunners could zip right through it because the physics are really, really cool.
Did I ever tell you guys my connection to Octodad?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Octodad was created by a group of students at DePaul University in Chicago. They were the class above me.
Oh, no way!
Really?
I was like a class or two above me. Yeah, they were the superstars of DePaul apparently, and
I would imagine.
well, naturally, because this was a big game, and you know, they had like a poster of it like outside the school, so you could see like, you know, because you always go to school and you think, you know, well, what has the person ahead of me accomplished outside of, you know, like the Ivy League schools and stuff like that. But then like you went to DePaul's computing and digital media school, and like there was a thing of Octodad, which is getting this worldwide, or you know, country and worldwide recognition, and you go, that could be me. And so you're like, that was like a really cool reminder that, you know, you can make it if you try hard enough. So
Yeah, that is extremely cool. That's awesome. I didn't know that
yeah.
that's a thing. That's pretty wild.
Yeah. All right, Will, how about you?
Well, unfortunately, the work life has been kind of putting me on the grind, but with the little time that I actually have, I actually been more or less been playing back bit by bit, of course, naturally, Breath of the Wild, but also more or less been hopping back on the Uncharted 4 multiplayer scene because now we have a new season. Unfortunately, there has been, I don't know, I believe other players also experience this problem. Like, there's a little bit one glitch that our scores have not been resetted, so I'm still stuck on the master rank. So
Uh-oh.
I probably need to, like, I don't know, lose purposefully because I need to go rank down in order to get my little cowboy hats, my diamond platinum, and then my master's cowboy hats for Uncharted 4. So yeah, Naughty Dog, can you please check on that for us, please? Thank you very
We'll
much.
tag him in a tweet.
There's nothing wrong with a good tank.
But overall, from that, I mean, again, it's pretty even quiet. I really want to play more video games, but again, the adult life really is just blah. I don't want to adult, I want to play. But also, I'm just waiting for my Amazon delivery of Persona 5, which Amazon, why it took so long? I mean, come on. I mean, heck, even GameStop has a better delivery service on games, which that's kind of saying something. But yeah, overall it's been pretty quiet on my side. But overall, about that, yeah, overall I'm enjoying my games for the little time as I have. And yep, Persona 5 tomorrow, I'll be enjoying the weekend. Woo!
Very nice. And I'm actually having the opposite problem. I have multiple jobs, but I always seem to have time, and so I've been like indulging in Netflix when I should be playing more video games, and like minus Heroes, obviously, because I'm just like, what's going on? Like I had, let's see, it was like Wednesday, but Tuesday or Wednesday, and I'm like, okay, I could totally dive into Shovel Knight, and then I didn't for whatever reason, and then yesterday I did because I was like, I could watch another episode of Jessica Jones, even though I've already watched it, or I could play Shovel Knight. Let's go play Shovel Knight. So, and I'm actually enjoying Shovel Knight more this go around because I'm a little bit more into it, and I love what's the phrase here? The attention, the passion, and the detail that's good enough that I see in this game. Like the subtle conversations, the little twists on the levels, like when the lights go out and you only see like the outlines until the lightning strikes and you have to time your jumps perfectly. I faced a polar knight last night and I beat him, but like him and Shovel Knight talked and they were like, Shovel Knight's like, hello old friend, and I'm like, oh wait a minute, these two have a history, you know, and I wanted to learn more, and it was just very sad that I didn't yet. You know, it's just a very classic kind of game, and I really really like it, and I'm really glad I got it. So yeah, I've been really enjoying that. And then I actually played Walking Dead season 3, episode 3 recently. I had to do that for a site, and it's another story game, and it's interesting the difference between like story and gameplay these titles kind of have. It's always a fascinating balance, I find. And then obviously I've been playing Fire Emblem Heroes, which we'll get to a lot today. Expect a lot of Emblem or Fire Emblem Heroes talk.
I feel like our viewers would not expect anything less at this
It's
point.
just true. Tis true. But yeah. So it's been decent, and I'm looking forward for a few weeks in the future when Mario Kart Deluxe comes out. And
Yes.
then I'm probably gonna try and get me another Switch game sometime. A friend owes me a favor. I kid you not. A few weeks ago I bought Mass Effect, and I told you
Oh.
I couldn't
Right,
get
right,
my
right.
PC to play it, right? And so a buddy of mine who I write for also, he goes, hey, what was that game you wanted to get? And I'm like, Mass Effect? He goes, oh yeah, here, I'll buy it for you. I'm like, I already bought it. He goes, oh darn, I wanted to buy it for you for all the help you've given me. I'm like, do you
No.
now, oh, hold on, it gets better. I'm like, well, do you want to buy me another game? And he goes, sure, what do you want? I'm like, I don't know. Is it limited to PC? And he goes, no, I could probably get you anything. I'm like, how about the Switch? And he goes, yeah, probably. So I'm just going to wait until like Mario Kart comes out and go, hey, buddy, remember that game you said you'd buy me? Buy me that one. So I'm just waiting. I was counting down the minutes. I'm so evil.
That's sweet, though. Yeah, yeah, I'm glad you're liking Shovel Knight. They're doing King Knight's campaign soon.
I remember that.
And yeah, I wish it was Polar Knight, because like you said, I love that. Like, I do wonder what Polar Knight's history is. When you play Plague of Shadows, you'll find even more.
Oh, really?
Like, yeah, he just, and Spectre of Torment, more Spectre of Torment. Polar Knight has like a straight, like, you can tell that the people at Yacht Club are like, they have plans for Polar Knight.
Yeah. We've actually been trying, this is no joke, ladies and gentlemen, we've actually been trying to get an interview with Yacht Club Games, and they keep telling us they will. It's just, you know, the Switch launch happened, and then they're likely working on this King's Quest, and which is actually entirely another game, I think. But yeah, we are going to try and get an interview with them. And if we can, we'll bring them on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Probably have to talk to Cooper Keith about that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, but I'm looking forward to what's coming up. So with that, there has been some very, very interesting news concerning the Switch, the 3DS, and a lot of other things. So it's time to go down the warp pipe. And I'll let Will kick this off because he's very excited for a piece of news that broke the other day. Will, take it away.
All right. So as for one of the only Amiibo fanatics here on the Outer Haven.
Hey, don't go that far. We all like Amiibo.
I'm right there with you. I love Amiibo.
Well, apparently there has been some rumors, or apparently a leak from Best Buy that announced that there will be three more Zelda themed amiibos that's gonna be released down the line. And apparently, from what Best Buy had mistakenly released it supposedly works with Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. And if you have been seeing on YouTube recently regarding to different costumes, especially regarding to Skyward Sword, Fierce Deity Link, and I think one more, I can't put my name on it. I think it's like regard to Twilight Link. I do not remember. But basically, there probably is three more rumored Link amiibos that's gonna be coming out in the near future. Which I don't know. Again, if you've seen like the hacks from many different hackers, Fierce Deity Link looks pretty dang awesome, I admit.
Well, if we're being honest, Will. I mean, completely, fully honest. When hasn't Fierce Deity Link looked good?
Okay. Granted,
I'm just saying, Majora's Mask, Smash Brothers, you know, I don't think you can go wrong with that look. Oh, I mean, yeah you can, but Nintendo's done well not to.
No, do they have the Dark Link? Is that already in the game? I think that's already in the game,
because okay. That's where you actually buy it from one of the monster peddlers, the one in the blimp. I forgot his name.
That's right. Not is it Akala?
Akala. So yeah, the Dark Link is already available. But yeah, also we're going to like even using the Goddess Sword from Scarlet Sword as well as the costume of Scarlet Sword Link. I mean, pretty not bad. I mean, it's always a nice little addition to get more different costumes. I mean, it's always nice per se.
I agree.
But again, I think it's the pretty much everyone really basically wants is to get those three, because I'm not sure about you guys, but finding these like the 20th, 30th anniversary Zelda, yeah, scalpers are going ham with that.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Get done.
No, please go ahead, man. Please.
Oh, I was just gonna say that the I'm in this awkward stage with my amiibo right now because I used to unbox all of them, and now I stopped doing that and I have like half of them in the box and half of them not in the box, and I really want to use the amiibo in Breath of the Wild because they'll give you the cool costumes and stuff, but I haven't done yet because I've been leaving them in the box.
You do realize that some of them actually work in the box, right?
Some of them.
Which one?
I know on the Wii U, they I think Nintendo purposefully made them just thick enough that you couldn't scan it in from the box. Yeah, I don't know why they did that, but well, I mean, I guess I know why, because they wanted people to buy two.
Yes, that's what I actually did.
One in the box, one out of the box.
Yeah, I have a couple of repeats that I've just left in the box from the get-go, just you know, maybe they'll be worth something one day, but I think at the end of the day I'm going to crack and just unbox them all, because I do love them.
And yeah, because you told me about this one, Todd, like the Ganondorf amiibo, the Smash Ganondorf amiibo actually unlocks like the, what was the sword again you told me?
I don't remember.
Like one of the judges' swords, like one of the spirit swords back in the Colosseum, like the spirits.
Oh, interesting.
I remember that's what you told me. Or like, is it the light sword from Ganon who pulls it out in Smash Brothers? I don't know, but yeah, that's the one you told me. So,
can we just note that that's one of the greatest crimes in Smash Brothers is that
yes.
Ganon is a pure clone of
yeah.
Captain Falcon. It doesn't use the bloody sword, and the sword is in his taunt.
Biggest disappointment in Smash 4 for sure was that they didn't amend that. Like
no, the biggest disappointment in Smash 4 was that they didn't have Wolf Link and Midna.
That would have been a great character. I do agree that would have been sweet.
Thank you. Speaking of amiibo, sorry to cut you off, Will, but this one's for Tyler. There were some leakers have been revealing some Echoes content, and one of them revealed that female Corrin is one of the illusionary heroes.
Yes, that is beyond hype.
The catch here is that, based on what we know, these illusionary heroes only come via the amiibos, which means you can get Crom, Ike, Lucina, Robin, and Corrin, male Corrin, whenever he comes out. But the fact that this female Corrin is here makes people wonder if a female Corrin amiibo is coming out.
Truthfully, I think it confirms. I mean, I could be wrong. Like, they could just let you scan them in and choose which one you want. But two Corrin amiibos makes sense, first of all. Second of all, if they do that, I want a female Robin amiibo as well.
Yeah, that's the only catch, because people are saying, well, why wouldn't they do female Robin then? Now, for the record, we don't know if female Robin is in the game, to our knowledge, at the time of this recording. But we do know female Corrin is going to be there, which is why it's sparking this fuel. But I agree, if they do female Corrin, they probably should do female Robin. So, yeah.
That was super cool. All the Echoes content that they've been coming out with has me so excited. I'll touch on it a little bit later. But yeah, that one of the illusionary Corrin female was, as a Fire Emblem and amiibo obsessor, that was honestly my favorite news of the week.
Mm-hmm. See, well, I'm really insulted that you said, like, as the only, like, one of the only amiibo fanatics. Like, Tyler's been raging about the Fire Emblem amiibo for weeks.
Oh, you will be getting a picture of my collection, Will. It's probably just as impressive as yours, because I have every single one of them, besides the Animal Crossing ones.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm just going for the Smash series, so go ahead. More power to you.
Are you really a fan, then? Are you...
hey, really, I know my limits. I know my limits, because I do not want to go down that rabbit hole. Thank you very much.
I almost went down the rabbit hole.
It's not pleasant. I mean, it is pleasant when I look over and see them all. Like, it's just what my eyes gravitate to in the morning, and I'm like, I am so proud of my life. Look at what I've accomplished. I have Dark Pit, and like, I'm like a 2-year-old too. I have all my favorites on like one higher up, like my dressers, my drawers that I have them on. They're like little staggered in height, and I have my favorite characters are on the higher one. It's awesome.
I have 8, and what happened was that I didn't ask for these. I really didn't. And then Christmas came, and I opened a box, and in there is Mario, DK, and Pikachu. And I'm like, you got me amiibo. And I asked my mom, you know, surprised. And she goes, yeah, well, I knew they were around, and you weren't sure if you wanted them or not. And then I asked the guys, like, hey, which ones are the best ones? I'm like, gosh, that's a loaded question. and, you know, so she gave me those, and I'm like, this is nice. And then I saw Charizard one day, and I'm like, oh, I gotta have Charizard. And then another day I saw I finally got Marth, and yeah. I still don't have Ike, even though I want him. And it's just funny, because then I'll like go into places and I'll see like amiibos, and I'm like, if I was to buy one, which one would I get? Like, I saw a Ryu one, but I didn't get it, like the box is open, and I'm like, ugh, why do I want that? The funny thing for me, the biggest one for me, I remember when Lucina was like very, very rare.
Yes.
Right. And then I went to Best Buy one day. This was like, I don't know, a month ago. Yeah. And I go in there and I look at the thing, and there's like a rack of Lucina. I'm like, oh, that's nice. They got a nice big row. And then I look to my right, and there's a box, like a pedestal box. and in it are like 20 Lucinas. I'm like, what the heck? That's not right.
That isn't right.
I know. Yeah, the supply. Yes, it just comes and goes. Yes.
Yeah. All right, moving on to an issue that we actually covered here on Outer Haven in pretty good degree. It appears that the Nintendo Switch, some, let me be absolutely clear, some Nintendo Switches are having a certain issue, in which they are actually warping, like literally, physically warping in the docks for the console. And I believe Josh and Josh is the one who covered this. Yeah, you covered it too?
Well, actually, like tested out myself, like regarding if there was like a smaller indent or basically if it was slightly bowed, and I can confirm it. I mean, it is a little off-putting. Definitely triggers the OCD a bit because yeah, you can notice the little off balance.
So yours is like this?
It's because I actually used a ruler to test this theory out. I mean, test the hypothesis, and from what I can see is like on the right side, especially right where the game card is, you can start to see it slopes down. For my Switch console, it actually slopes down slightly.
Wow.
So it does trigger some people's OCDs.
Yeah. That's fascinating.
And I don't know, like, it seems to me like I can see why people is a bit worried, because it is definitely concerning, like, if the system itself is it going through a problem? Is this like just kind of like imperfection purposely, or is it like really not was tested by Nintendo? But I don't know. I can definitely see why it's off-putting, but not to the point like it would garner like too much trouble.
My thing is that, you know, again, this, I'm looking at mine like right now. It's like right next to me. It's on my computer, and you know, I don't think mine is bent, but I saw some of these where they're like a serious indent, and I can understand people not being happy about that. Then the question is this a Nintendo issue or is this a manufacturing issue? Because if it's the manufacturer, then Nintendo technically doesn't have a stake in this, because it's not their fault. It's the people who literally made these things have a problem. But that's the thing, is like, I don't know how widespread this is. Now the Joy-Cons were a similar issue where, you know, like some had the problem, some didn't have the problem, and Nintendo has apparently fixed that. So like that's good. But this isn't a quick fix. It's not like, oh, you do this and it's fixed. If it's bent, if it's warped, it's warped. And like that's a problem. Especially in, you know, in the tablet mode, you know, if you know it's warped, like you said, you could tell, that's gonna mess with you.
Right, and again, it definitely triggers many people's OCD tendencies. Like, when you play it via handheld mode, I mean, that also kind of, it also plays into your mind, like, yeah, you can't help but on the right side, it does feel maybe slightly curved in. So I can definitely see that little concern. But I don't know, it definitely feels like, because there's also like many arguments, like one should not be like really worry about this problem too much, especially if it's like slightly warped. But then again, there's the other side that says like, dude, this is, yeah, it's supposed to be like even balance, not supposed to be like effective like this.
Well, here's the thing, right? For me, first of all, I think it does, the reason that it bends is because part of it's plastic and plastic bends. So when it gets really hot, which makes sense, so it mostly happens when it's docked.
True.
The heat builds up and that causes it to bend. So I think that's why it's actually happening. I don't think that it's a manufacturing thing. I just feel like that's what happens. And I hope that they can find a way to fix it without having, you know, to jack up the price to get a more expensive cooling unit in or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, I think the biggest concern I have is, and I could be wrong, I'm just putting together the dots here, but maybe that's why people are having the dock scratch the screen sometimes. Because if it's bending, right, wouldn't that make sense that's what, because a lot of the scratches that I've seen on the pictures are on the right side, which is the side that bends. I could just be wrong, but I think that might be something.
Well, because actually one of our other members on the Outer Haven, actually, like, he had one of his coworkers actually just got the Switch. And when it was right out of the box. When he took it out of the box, he also noticed there was like small little, like it was slightly bowed when out right out of the box. that was never in contact with the dock, so it could be just probably indeed the manufacturer's problem.
Yeah, or it could be both.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You know,
we don't know.
It could be mine is fine.
Mine's fine.
But I mostly play in handheld mode.
Same.
For what that's worth, so.
Yeah, I was poking fun at Josh, and like, he's like, oh man, this is probably because of the docks. I'm like, ha, that's why I play in handheld mode. So, but if, by all means, ladies and gentlemen, please let us know if yours is suffering this issue, and we'll actually update our piece about it. Let us know if you play mostly in, like, you know, handheld mode, or if you play docked or something like that. And we'll keep you apprised on this situation for sure. Stepping up to lighter news, the composer for Xenoblade Chronicles 2 has said that this game is the biggest he has worked on. He's worked, to my knowledge, all of the Xenoblade Chronicles games, which means, in his mind, that this is the biggest of the three in terms of music. Which is good, because if you remember Xenoblade Chronicles X, it didn't exactly have a lot of music. It had the same seven songs playing over and over again, except for cutscenes, obviously. That doesn't count. But...
It's debatable, because actually I really do enjoy Xenoblade X's OST, because, I don't know, there's the day cycle and there's the night cycle, I get that much. I mean, I don't really see that, like, what's the distaste for it. I mean, I enjoyed it.
It's not distaste, it's that this is a massive RPG, it's one of the best games on the Wii U, if not the best, as I'm sure some people will say, and... Yet when you enter, you know, New Los Angeles, you know, you get like the same six songs. And then when you go into the open areas of the world, you get those same six songs. And then, you know, cutscenes are different. You know, those are a totally different thing. But it's just like, this is an RPG. RPGs are known for music. And I'm hearing the same songs all over again. I'm like, come on. So this should give hope to those who say, you know, we want more music. It appears you are getting it, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Gwar Plains Night is my jam. Whenever it was late at night and I'd be walking around at school, I would put that on. I love that song.
Yeah, I still haven't played the original because it came out on the Wii and I didn't get it. And I don't have like that new Nintendo 3DS, so I can't get the 3D version. Or, sorry, the 3DS version. So, but
hey, you
everything
can go
I've heard
on Wii U
good.
Virtual Console.
True. I might have to do that. Thank you, Will. All right, one of the biggest pieces of news, we actually just broke this today at the time of this recording. Okay, we didn't break it. It wasn't us who found it. I don't want to be a fake news guy. we'll get to that in a second. But basically, we wrote something that we found on the internet. I'm getting really stingy now. That Square Enix did an interview with Niki in Japan. And the CEO of Square Enix said that the company is focusing the most on the Nintendo Switch. Why, you ask? Well, to them, it's a great console. And they like this console so much that they want to get as many games on this console as possible, because they acknowledge that the more platforms you have the games on, the better the sales, which is true. 9 times out of 10, 8 times out of 10. And so they are working hard to get both original games on it, and here's the big one, get ports of existing games or in development games on the console. Now, we've talked in past podcasts about how Square Enix is easily one of the Nintendo Switch's biggest supporters, and we've been grateful. I mean, Tyler again reviewed I Am Setsuna, and we know that Dragon Quest is coming, and certain other games are coming from Square Enix, Project Octopath from the Bravely Default crew. You know, but this is huge, because this says that they view it on equal with like the PS4, PS4 Pro, and they even mentioned that in the same sentence of Project Scorpio, which just had its tech specs revealed,
and
PC, that the Switch is a bigger priority, they are focusing more on the Switch than on that. That's huge. Now, I'm going to throw a bone here. Square Enix has said that they are looking into Final Fantasy 14 coming to the Switch. And there are fans who want this. But if they're really interested in bringing as many Square Enix games to the Switch as possible, this could mean we could get
Final Fantasy VII Remake on the Switch. We could get Final Fantasy 16 on the Switch. And the biggest one that I am begging and praying for, and I kid you not, we talked about this last week, I think, Kingdom Hearts 3 on the Nintendo Switch. I'm calling it right now. This is going to happen. Okay. Because for them to say that they're focusing the most on this, that has to mean they're doing something big.
I mean, as far as concerned, I mean, yes, Square Enix is definitely a great source of confidence to see. Definitely is very great to see that Square Enix really does trust us the Nintendo Switch, because again, I believe they can definitely see the potential of like what the console is able to do. Again, they are bringing Dragon Quest Heroes 1 and 2 coming to the Switch, so that's one of the things.
And Dragon Quest 11.
Oh yes, and Dragon Quest 11, right. And regarding to like the, because I remember like reading the article, they also said of regard to porting games. So like regarding to, as you said, maybe the new Dragon Final Fantasy, maybe regarding to Kingdom Hearts. I mean, heck, that's definitely gonna be an interesting concept to say the least.
Yeah.
And I don't. It's definitely. I could definitely see like what other games they can possibly bring over. I mean, heck, I'd be very surprised if they actually bring in Final Fantasy XII Zodiac Age. I don't know, but yeah, I know they're making it for PS4. But who knows? But hearing all like Square Enix really confiding trust in the Switch is, I mean, it's definitely nice. It's definitely nice.
And for the record, we're not saying that they're going to be like same day, like releases. I highly doubt, especially for like games like, you know, Kingdom Hearts 3, which is, you know, in development right now. But they said ports, which could be, you know, like, I don't know, 3 months down the line. I'll wait 3 months for Kingdom Hearts 3 on Switch. I will wait a year for Kingdom Hearts 3 on Switch. I'm just saying.
At the rate we're going at right now, Kingdom Hearts 3 is going to be going before someone's presidency.
Don't jinx it. Don't jinx it. I will hurt you, Will. Tyler, what do you think about all this?
Yeah, I mean, Square Enix has a pretty good history of supporting, at least with the 3DS, with the two Bravely games and Final Fantasy or Kingdom Hearts, Dream Drop, right? Dream Drop.
Yeah, Dream Drop Distance.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's not groundbreaking. Like, oh my gosh, Square likes Nintendo, but to hear that that's their focus is an entirely different story. And I would love to see some of those games get brought over. But I'm more excited for they revealed Project something or other that they revealed.
Project Octopath?
Yes, thank you. They revealed during the Switch launch. It's made by the Bravely Default team. I'm really excited for that because I love the Bravely games. I think they're phenomenal. So I'm more excited to see, you know, those hopefully, you know, Nintendo exclusives that they come up with. So
yeah, I'm excited. Here, Tyler, let me pitch this to you. Bravely Default Switch.
Yeah, I would lose my. I love that series. I love those characters. I'm so invested in that story. So yeah, if they come out with Bravely Third for the Switch, that would be it. I'd be so excited.
And if nothing else, the boost of, you know, Square Enix saying, hey, we're focusing the most on the Switch, could be a call to other developers saying, well, you know, if Square Enix is, you know, putting that much faith in the Switch, maybe we should look into them more.
Yeah, well, saying. I saw earlier an estimate that said 3 million Switch units were sold in March from some a guy on Bloomberg was saying 3 million, which is crazy. So I don't know how much April will be hurt by poor supply, but yeah, 3 million, they shot for 2 million was their goal. Yeah. So it clearly it's well
that's
beyond
incredible.
Our expectations.
Bloomberg said that's reliable. I would trust Bloomberg. I mean it. I would trust Bloomberg.
Yeah.
And yeah, because funny enough, here in New York, like they actually Nintendo NY actually released a schedule of like when they're gonna be having supplies of Nintendo Switches, and each and every single day, boom, sold out. Wristband sold out. Bam, 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 bam. It's been selling out each and every single day. You would not believe it on their Twitter account.
Yeah,
I believe it. Actually, I believe it. And again, let's just putting this into context. Okay, the Wii U took 6 weeks to sell 800,000 consoles. If this Bloomberg report is correct, which let's just say it is, that means they sold 3 million consoles in, let's see, this came out on the
5 weeks.
Yeah, 4.5. Exactly, 4 weeks. Exactly, 28 days. Let's just round it up. Okay? So 28 days, 4 weeks. So they basically sold four times as much as the Wii U in, you know, two weeks time, or 2 weeks less than the Wii U did, had to make 800,000. So that's, wow, that's impressive.
Without a Mario game, too.
Without a Mario game, yeah, like relying basically on Zelda and ports. A few original titles, like, you know, Fast Remix and stuff like that, but they're basically Zelda. That's what I want to know. I want to know if that 90% rate that we remember, the 1.2 million.
Yeah.
I want to know if the 90% rate held out for the month. Because if it did, let's see, 90% of 3 million is 2.7 million of Breath of the Wild sold. that's what I want to know. I want to know if that's what happened.
And that's,
I
wouldn't like be surprised. Breath of the Wild Switch. Or, I mean, Wii U.
Yeah. Wow. thank you for bringing that to my attention, Tyler. I honestly did not see that. All right, going into the segment you have all been waiting for, the Fire Emblem Heroes talk. quiet, Will. There's two pieces of news that we're going to talk about, and then we're going to talk about it a little bit later. The first is one that's very near and dear to my heart. It appears that Ike is coming. Ike from Path of Radiant to Radiant Dawn is coming, and according to a post, his special outfit that he won during the voting session, Choose Your Legends, will be coming later this summer, or after the summer, which means that more than likely Ike has to be coming between now and the end of the summer. And my only question to you guys is, why did it take so long?
And by that, you mean we still have like half of the game came out, what, February 2nd at launch, or 3rd at launch, somewhere.
Second.
And it's now April 6th.
Time is recording.
End of summer is... It's like twice as long as the game's been out for. We're going to have to wait for Ike.
I mean, look, I'm not asking for much, ladies and gentlemen, but when you announce a game that is celebrating the generations of Fire Emblem, there are arguably 10 characters you need to have in the game right off. You need to have Marth. You need to have Crom. You need to have Robin.
Lucina.
I was going to say that. It was a dramatic pause. Got to get something here. You gotta have Corrin, because, you know, recent games, you gotta have some of the royal family.
You gotta have Roy.
Roy's arguable, because Roy is Smash Brothers, but I don't know. You gotta have Lynn and Hector and Elwood, and then throw in there, you gotta have Ike. Because, again, for me and a lot of other people, Ike on the GameCube and the Wii was what brought them into Fire Emblem. And yet, him and the entire Grail Mercenaries are missing from the game. The only telliest person, ow, hit my finger.
I can just see you flailing your arms in your room right now.
I am flailing my arms. Wow, it's like you could see through. Can you see me? Oh my gosh, Tyler, what are you doing? But the only telliest person we have in the entire game is Tsunaki, which, don't get me wrong, Tsunaki's pretty cool, but her addition was just very, very random, and for her to be the first telliest person above Ike, it just rubs me the wrong way. And then, like, you're going to get the Ike special outfit at the end of the summer. And I'm like, okay, but I kind of need Ike to have Ike with the special outfit.
And can we talk about how mad we would be if Ike's special outfit was like, you had to get the 3% pull, if he was a focus hero, and not just give it to us?
So you know it's going to happen.
I would. I will write them a letter telling them how angry I am. I will be very, very angry with them.
Very, very angry with them?
Yes. So angry, I will write them a letter telling them how angry I am.
See, here's the thing. I feel, me personally, feel that the Ike, Roy, Lynn, Lucina outfits should be given away. Or at very least, the characters with those outfits should be given away. Though they could be 3-star, I don't care. All right, but they should be given away because we voted for them. Now, this Spring Festival thing, which we're about to get to, that was a special event. You know, those are unique takes on the character. You know, those you earn because, you know, it's a special thing. That I understand. But with this, to our knowledge, it's just an outfit. So either give us the character 3-star, again, I'll be fair, or something, but don't make it a focus character, because that's going to tick off a lot of people, especially certain Tellius Tyler.
Yeah.
And yeah, like, from my take on the issue is like, yes, you waited for so long for one of the most beloved characters in the series, and we even vote, like, yeah, for us, everybody voted for him, and like, it took him this long to get Ike, and like you gotta announce the special custom character before you released Vanilla Ike, the original Ike, is like
Vanilla Ike.
Yeah, hey, that's what yeah,
Ike,
the Vanilla
Ike
state.
Baby.
And it's definitely interesting, like very questioning in regards to like, yeah, why the heck you're gonna like give us a special outfit? Please give us the original, then we can be celebrated about it. I mean, I'm not sure if that's kind of like Nintendo's going money grabby on us. I mean, I really do hope that is, as you suggested, that they just give us like via like the mission base, like they did with one of the characters. Like you finish up a mission, they grant you the character. At least
I agree.
Heck, 3-star would be fairly enough.
Yeah.
But,
I would raise Ike from a 3-star child to a 5-star general. I don't care. I just want Ike in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, I would like definitely see like, because that's pretty much is the ongoing idea right now, is that yeah, because they announced it that the summer costume is gonna be coming up after summer, then perhaps it is gonna be the next session. So
maybe.
And I know a lot of people gonna be spending money, including myself.
I will resist, but I'll probably have to fight the urges harder than I've ever had before.
Good luck.
My only thing with this is the only grace and pass I have given Nintendo is that based on how they built Heroes in regards to the story, is that like, you know, you're going to each world. And so my only thing is that Ike, naturally, is going to lead the charge for like the next wave of story content, which means you're going to have, you know, a whole world or two, depending if you do like Path of Radiant and Radiant Dawn, of story content with the Grail mercenaries and, you know, the Crimea soldiers and Benyon and all of that. That's the only thing I'm holding on to, is that when Ike arrives, he brings all of Tellius with him. If they don't, then I'm really going to be mad, because I'm like, if you weren't going to do that, then why didn't you just have Ike? Just Ike. We don't need anyone else from Tellius. Yeah, just bring Ike to the game.
Well, we do need Jill, too, but...
Oh, again, just as a start.
Ike is the key. Ike is absolutely the key. There's one more thing that I would be disappointed in.
You do realize if you spell Ike, if you rearrange some of Ike's letters, it'd be K-E-I, which kind of spells key. Just saying.
It's a stretch, but I like it.
It's a stretch I will make for Ike.
Yeah, you have to. You have to go all out for that guy. But if in the story, because I'm sure we'll add to the main chapters with the when Ike comes out, instead of making it a paralogue, I'm sure it'll be like a main world or two worlds of Ike. If Veronica conquers the Tellius world, I will be slightly disappointed, because they honestly should have like Ike just like turn her around, because like he's Ike and he never loses. So
okay, if we're gonna play that card...
Ike is like the Batman.
Okay, Ike
he
is,
just
Ike,
it just
Ike
because he's Ike. He just
Ike
it's,
is Batman.
It's just okay. Ike. Like he wins.
I would say Ike is better than Batman because he don't need the mask.
That's a great point.
But here's the thing. If we're gonna play that card, then I would say the same thing for Marth. I would say the same thing for Robin and, you know, Krom, because those two together are basically invincible. You know, Corrin and the family united
well,
is basically invincible. Because remember, these are about armies. This isn't just about characters. As great as Ike is, and Ike is great, he always had the mercenaries and his armies to beat the bad guys. They specifically say, especially like at the end of, you know, Path of Radiance and Radiant Dawn, that they are armies marching towards it, and Ike is just the figurehead. Okay, that's terrible. He's the general leading the charge. One man does not slay an army.
But that's the thing. Ike does... do that.
He
like,
does slay Arvies, but yeah. even he has limits.
Here's the thing. Marth, right, and before we get off this Fire Emblem intense talk, Marth is like, you know, a little bit more peaceful, so I could see how he would be like, oh, take it by surprise, oh, I'm gonna try to talk this out, oh no, she's not interested in that. You know, Ike is a straight, he's just a warrior, you know, like, I just can't, I just, Ike would win. Ike would find a way.
I'm immediately reminded that Ike is very similar to Guts in a way. Berserk in a way.
Oh my gosh, we should totally have that as a death battle. Ike versus Guts.
Wouldn't be close. Ike would win.
Guts
has the Berserker armor, and that makes him immune to pain.
Yeah,
so...
and he beat a nightmare, so yeah, I think that kind of
takes me back.
We'll talk about this later. The Nintendo Entertainment Podcast After Hours. No. no. But yeah, I just want to have Ike in the game. I'm just saying. So now the other big thing with Fire Emblem Heroes,
has been the voting gauntlet. And as we talked about last week, it's Wyvern Riders versus Pegasus Knights. Now, on the surface, this is actually a very cool matchup because this has been something that's, you know, talked about in Fire Emblem. Actually, the Tellius Saga talked about the rivalry between the Benyon Pegasus Knights and the Benyon Wyvern Riders, between the, you know, the Apostle and the Senate.
Yep.
But something kind of caught our eye, and no, Will, not that. as you know, what the voting gauntlet is that you fight for, you pick a champion, for lack of a better term, and then you fight for their honor, and then you try and get victories and get the points so that they can conquer the other champion. But as, like, day one hit, and we noticed the pairings, because it basically is, you know, tournament style, 16-8 to 4-2, Kamiya, who is obviously one of the Wyvern Rider representatives, was absolutely slaughtering her opponent, Hinoka, which in theory is not a wrong thing because Kamiya is intensely popular. But the problem was that the numbers we saw showed that she has, like, no competition. The only potential competition is Cordelia, who is also, you know, very widely liked, including by me and Tyler. See, that's what you should be complaining about, Tyler, is that Jill isn't in the game and isn't representing the Wyvern Riders.
No, I agree.
Yeah, and I would say the same thing about Har. Moving on.
Yeah.
But that's the thing. It's like, Cordelia is potentially her only competition. If me and Tyler are probably being honest, she's not going to win, barring every single Fire Emblem Heroes player rallying against Kamiya, which isn't going to happen. So this kind of raises a problem, because what we were honestly going to do, like, the PSA thing again, and, like, ask you to rally behind our favorite champions and all that, but I was gonna pick Hinoka, and Hinoka's getting slaughtered, so why would I ask you to do that? And, you know, Will doesn't need to tell you to vote for Kamiya, because you're probably already voting for her. And then Tyler was doing Cordelia, and he probably had a very passionate argument about all that. But I was bringing this up with our friend Kromcho, who should be returning very, very soon, and she goes, you know, the voting gauntlet just isn't very fun. And I thought about it, and I'm like, you're kind of right, because the only thing, besides seeing the matchups, that I liked about the last voting gauntlet was that I got 20 orbs from it.
Yes, yes.
Which I better get for this one, I'm just saying. With all the votes I'm seeing, especially for Kamiya. So I posed this question to them earlier, we're going to answer it now. So Tyler, starting with you, what does the voting gauntlet need to be to be more entertaining? Because for me and for Kromcho and maybe for you, it's just not as entertaining as, you know, like the arena battles, training tower, special maps, or whatever. What does it need to do to be better?
Well, for me, I'm coming at this from a different perspective, because I actually loved the first voting gauntlet because I was on Team Krom.
See, you were on one of the winning teams. Of course you liked
Well, no, not even that. The most fun I had was when we lost to Ephraim. That was such a good battle. It was so close the whole way. We were trading back and forth. I was checking my phone every half hour to see an update on how the battle was going, because it was so close, and all the fan art was pouring out of, you know, Krom and I always will change how I say it. I'm going to say Ephraim, and I'm going to stick with that. Ephraim battling, and then afterwards, like, chumming it out, like, beat up, and their pals. I loved that. It was a community thing where everybody came together, and it was extremely fun. Now, for people who were on Team Lucina, I can't imagine it was that much fun, because you're winning by 10 billion, like, the entire way through the entire tournament. What they really need to do, I think, to improve it is to just, they need to think more about which characters that they put into the contest. I love Wyverns versus Pegasus. I think it's a great idea. But I actually did a little bit of research on this before we talked about it, because Todd gave me a heads up, which was clutch. And
that's what I do.
Maybe the reason Camilla was included in this was because there are literally only four Wyvern Riders outside of Mikalis, who was a Grand Hero battle, and the other guy, Narcian, because he's also a Grand Hero battle. So I guess they didn't want those two guys being in, because you'd have to do a Grand Hero battle, or they'd have to put them into the pool, which for some reason they don't want to do. And that could be why Kamiya's in, because really the other matchups are very close. I think Hinoka versus Cordelia would be pretty close if that was the next matchup. And I think that those close matchups are where the real fun comes in, is where it's back and forth. You don't know who's going to win. You're texting your friend saying, hey, let's, you know, 30 minutes, let's go.
Kromcho has been supporting Sabaki, and she's been noting how that's actually a close matchup. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what we need.
Right, right. That matchup looks incredibly fun to me because it's Tsubaki versus Baruka, two characters that really aren't that popular, but they're cool and their fandoms are probably pretty equal. So you're going to have an exciting finish. And I think that's where Voting Gauntlet really, you know, that's where it shines, is in those close matchups where you're, you know, you're nervous, you don't know what's going to win. But from the very beginning on this one, we knew Camilla would probably win, and she's going to just blow out everybody all the way through. And no matter what they did to offset that with the bracket, because I think if you look at the left side, every single character on the left side is more popular than the characters on the right side.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't matter. Camilla is going to roll right through and win. She probably has half the people picking her. So, I mean, they need to just make the matchups smarter. They could have held this off until they added a Jill into the fray. Or
yeah, Jill would have thrown a monkey wrench into this.
Yeah, exactly. I do think that the concept is there. It's just poor execution matchup wise.
Mm-hmm.
Will,
from what I've been, because just taking reference as from the last voting battle, I guess the reason because that was actually much more interesting is as you said, because there was definitely a much more balance in regards to character popularity. As regards to, like, I backed up Lucina because everyone more or less knows Lucina, aside from, like, Crom, the other characters. Because, again, Lucina is definitely one of, like, if not one of the poster girls of Fire Emblem Awakening. And pretty much everyone knows about her, besides from Crom. I mean, yeah, Crom, I believe, was, like, second in the popularity roles during the battle. I don't know. But basically, Lucina was pretty much had that great publicity, and heck, of course, the internet's the internet, so yeah. And everybody just basically liked Lucina, and that's how she won the first gauntlet. In regards to Kamiya, it's pretty much just the extreme case, because everybody knows Kamiya, and yeah, I don't know. It's just, everyone basically knows Kamiya because due to the fact of, outside from her physical quality, physical attributes.
I'm proud of you, Will. That's a lovely way.
Hey, I'm trying to keep it classy.
You are classy. You are classy.
But yeah, besides on the physical attributes, is that she is just overall a monster in many ways than one. Because everyone knows Kamiya, like, she was basically one of the starter units when Fire Emblem Heroes was out, and everybody wanted Kamiya. I remember a lot of it. Heck, Yaya Han summoned her. Many people wanted Kamiya. Heck, I remember spending my money to get Kamiya. Everyone knew her since, because she was pretty much, she led the reins of the new units. I mean, heck, first Takumi, Roy, all the first beginner units. And when it came to the gauntlet battle, it's just kind of, I guess, believe it's just much more emphasis of, like, how many people just want to back her. I guess because, again, it's based also on the fact of old Fire Emblem fans versus, like, recent ones, because I'm not sure how many people actually jump on the bandwagon with Awakening, because yeah, Cordelia is definitely has a good cult following, but when it comes to, like, the recent games like Fates, it's hard to definitely say, like, how many people, like, really jumped on the bandwagon ever since, like, the boom of the popularity with Awakening.
Right, and she's not the star of the game. Camilla is the star, one of the stars of Fates.
Much as the main cast, yes. So I guess that also kind of contributes to that extreme popularity. And basically going back on the subject of how to keep it balanced, I guess the one thing is, like, because everyone pretty much knew that if you put in Camilla, yeah, it's a no-brainer. It's a no-brainer. So maybe they could have, like, put in another, yeah, because now I'm thinking about it, it's, as you said, like, how many Wyvern Riders are there in the universe, in the Fire Emblem universe?
Not a lot.
Oh, is it?
Well, there's a lot from the older games, but there's not a lot in Heroes right now.
I mean, that's what we're saying. Like, they're technically, if we include Mikalis and Narcian, there's only six. So, that's what we're saying.
Right. I guess the one way is, like, to balance it out is probably, like, don't be so blatantly obvious of your choices. Because, like, instead of Camilla, perhaps we, like, maybe we choose a bit more, like, that's, like, a little bit somewhat underground of popularity levels. Like, as you said, it's like Baruka and Tsubaki. Like, that is an even match, and, like, that is very enjoyable because, like, they did, like, point for point, like, basically a war of attrition. That is one of the best fights. But I'm also seeing it's kind of like in the same situation as the Splatoon Splatfest. It's basically like, do you want which one are you are? Like, but I guess that I probably shouldn't really compare it because like in Splatfest it's basically a very general idea, which can be argued. But in while in the Gauntlet, it's just basically a popularity contest. So like it's very hard to like really break down the situation. But the way I see it is like, yeah, perhaps don't put in Camilla, but maybe definitely put in someone else. Like definitely don't make the obvious choice, is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, that's my problem too, is that, you know, the first voting gauntlet was, you know, even though it was kind of obvious, you know, with the royal families, they still did it well. Now, I still feel like, you know, some of the matchups weren't fair. Like the moment I saw Erica versus Lucina, I'm like, oh, Erica's gonna die. And she did, but I supported her anyway because I support, you know, my blue-haired girls when I can. Yes, I know Lucina has blue hair, not that's not the point.
Light blue.
Light blue, there you go, light blue. You know, but then when I saw this, it was like I knew Kamiya was gonna do well, but then again, I was gonna support Hinoka, and I see she's against Kamiya, and I'm like, she's so screwed. And I'm actually going to go into Fire Emblem Heroes right now and see how big this gap is, and that and I'm surprised.
See, I am looking at it right now. It is Camilla's army is 5,400,000,000, while Hinoka is currently at a little less than 700,000,000
Oh my
votes.
God.
See? I mean, I'm just saying, like, that's the difference. And now, could you imagine if it was, say, Hinoka versus Michaelis? Or, you know, who's, you know,
Right.
those who know the original game will know
How about
Michaelis. And
Valter? How about they add Valter from Sacred Stones? He's pretty
yeah.
popular and he's a unique character.
The potential is there. Like I said, we know that there are Wyvern Riders out there that could have replaced Kamiya. And I would have waited a week. I would have waited 2 weeks. You know, we don't know when these voting gauntlets are gonna come out until like they give us a slight heads up. And it's just not that fun when the gaps are so huge. I honestly barely played the first voting gauntlet outside of the first few matchups just because the moment I saw that my character was getting screwed, I have no reason to, you know, play. Now this one I'm actually, you know, this first round my character's actually winning, so you know, I'm just having some fun, you know, just stalling for time. But it's just it loses the appeal. Now, one thing that both me and Kramcho both agree on is that we love the fact that you don't know who you're going to play as outside of your, you know, top left character.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's really cool. And, you know, like today I had a battle and I got to play with, wow, that was going to sound so wrong. I got to team with Carrot Xander. And so, like, and with my polling luck, this is the closest I'm ever going to get to having a Xander on my team. So, you know, that was really cool. And I had a Crom, I had a Lucina. Having the randomness of it is really, really cool. And I just wish that they would, you know, build that up a little bit more. I don't know. And, you know, heck, I would love a totally separate mode that was just about you having random armies. You know, maybe even expand it to four and say, like, having two characters from one of your friends and, you know, two from a random character in the universe that just happens to be on your level, you know, random battles, you know, for maybe like for feathers, you know, that would be something really cool, which is, you know, something we still want to see in the game is, you know, more feathers because, you know, you want to upgrade. I've got three characters I want to get to gold, but I'm only at like 12,000 feathers. So I'm just like, gotta give me more feathers here, Nintendo. So I feel like if they made the matchups better, you know, if they didn't put these super popular characters in with Lucina, with Crom, with Kamiya, and again, no one was more shocked than I that if Frame, Tyler, beat Crom. I was shocked because, you know, if Frame is very much one of the more niche characters, because if you didn't play Sacred Stones, GBA, no less, you didn't know who he was. But, you know, Crom is Crom. Crom is everywhere. You know, Crom was in Smash Brothers as a Final Smash and Final Smash only, Tyler. And
Very
he's
disappointing.
it was disappointing, I won't lie. You know, that's different. But with Kamiya, we know she's gonna win. You know, if she loses, it's to Cordelia, and it's because the Cordelia movement is stronger on that day. But
And Kamiya has what? She has 5 billion. Cordelia
5 billion.
is barely, she's just about to get to 1 billion. So
There you go. So
it's the
you see,
long odds.
the very long odds. It's not going to happen. I mean, I was hoping you were going to say 2 billion. I'm just saying. But yeah, Kamiya is just overpowering everyone, and it totally sucks the fun out of it. Now, I'm going to still participate because I'm going to still kind of hope that we get, you know, 10 to 20 orbs so that I can do some more summons, but I have no other reason to play. I mean, it's my loyalty only goes so much when I know my team is losing or I know who's going to win the match. I'm just saying.
Right.
All
right.
So, moving on. This next segment's kind of ironic because the last time we did it, Will dropped out literally before we did it. So, but Will is back, and we're going to have a little bit of fun at poking fun at people and having fun celebrating people. So, Tyler, I kind of have to ask you, what do we have over here? Kappa haters? Kappa heroes? And I want to start this one off because I have some good ones and some bad ones. So I'm going to do two very small haters because I want to keep this segment kind of quick. My first hater is actually something we talked about earlier, and it's people freaking out over problems with Nintendo platforms. And it's happened with the Wii, with like the straps. It's happened with the Wii U and some of the issues that had. And now it's happening with the Switch with the Joy-Con issues and the warping thing. Just because there is a problem doesn't mean the console's doomed. I kid you not, I've seen so many comments about how this, the warping issue, the Joy-Con issue, they just completely badmouth Nintendo, stating, you know, oh, how they totally rushed this console, this proves that Nintendo doesn't know how to make consoles. I'm like, dude, what are you looking at? Now, again, I won't lie, when I heard about the Joy-Con issues, I feared that I would have an issue with it, because I saw some of them were even having issues when it was like locked into tablet mode. I thought, oh man, that's going to be me. That's the luck of my life. You know, it's going to happen. But then it didn't. And they've now been joining the Switch ever since. Now, this warping issue, very serious. It's not a lie. The scratching issue, very serious. Not going to lie. But that doesn't mean the console is doomed. That doesn't mean the console is terrible. It just means that you honestly got dealt a bad hand. And you have the right to complain about that. But don't ruin it for everyone else by saying, oh, you should get this console. This is going to happen to it. This is going to happen to it. This is going to happen to it. You don't know that. Okay? You don't know that. It's okay to be mad, but don't take it out. Don't shout it out to everyone and try and ruin what is potentially a very good experience for them.
Yeah, the people who are the loudest in the room sometimes aren't right.
There you go. I like that. I like that. I'm going to remember that one. The second one, and we actually talked about this a little earlier, again, deja vu. Don't hate the writer just because you don't understand what they're saying. When I wrote this, the Square Enix was throwing their support behind the Switch. I wrote in there, based on the quote that I saw in the article, that the CEO of Square Enix said that they were going to be focusing the most on the Nintendo Switch. That said in my brain, okay, this means that above the Xbox One, Project Scorpio, above the PS4 and PS4 Pro, Square Enix was focusing on Nintendo Switch bringing his main games to consoles. The quote said, we are focusing the most on the Switch. That says to me that above every other thing out there, they're supporting the Switch. But some haters decided to badmouth me and say that's not what they said. They're totally behind the support of the PS4 and blah, 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 blah. So I was the bigger man. I just took out, you know, the PS4 statement, just focused on the Scorpio and the PC aspect of it, which they did say. But if you see a line that says you're supporting this the most, it means that everything else is second.
Right.
Okay. If you're supporting the most popular team in a league, that doesn't mean, no, we're not talking about that team over there. We mean all the other teams but that team. No, that's not what you're saying. You're saying above every other team in the league, you're supporting this team. No exceptions. So don't be a hater, fool. I'm just saying. Because that really got me riled up, because I'm like, what? That's not what you're saying. And especially when they said that they're interested in bringing as many original games and ports to the console as much as possible, they aren't saying that with PS4 and Scorpio and, you know, Xbox One. That's not what they're saying. So why are you telling me that I am wrong?
Well, it was good that you took it in stride, because you were cracking me up when you kept calling yourself fake news. That guy, Todd, is fake news.
Like, we interrupt this podcast from a message from Donald Trump.
I heard about this guy named Todd. He's on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. He's fake news, okay? Fake host, fake podcast, fake news. I'm going to throw him over the wall. I'm going to build a wall around him, okay? Right? Listen to me. It's going to be the best section of the wall, trapping him in it. He's never going to get out. Fake news. Thank you. Thank you. Make America great again. I have no idea how well that pressure is going to come off.
You know, honestly, that was pretty good. You're better than Stephen Colbert, and I think he does a pretty good,
Don't get me started on Colbert. Anyway, but the point is, I would not write fake news. Well, that's not exactly true.
I did write fake news.
I wrote fake news about Travis Touchdown being on a Smash Brothers for the April Fool's joke, and a lot of people actually believe me. Rule number one about writing. If you think something is fake news, you do two things. One, you look up the question or the statement that's being made. And two, you check the source. I specifically made my source link back to a wrestling video of one of my favorite entrance themes, who actually got inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame recently. And no one clicked it, including Tellius Tyler.
Nope, I certainly did. I read all the way through it. And Todd had been hyping up in our chat that he was going to do an April Fool's Day joke. Yep. And I woke up, I saw the post in the thing, and I was like, no way! Like I said, I fall for anything. I am the most gullible person in the world.
Yeah, and I specifically say at the end of that article, are you excited for Travis Touchdown being a Smash 4? Well, so would we if this wasn't April Fool's.
That's when I picked up on it.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it took you all the way to the... I love it. But, you know, that's the only fake news I write. I would not exaggerate something like this. Now, if I misconstrued it or misrepresented it, I am sorry, but trust me, I wasn't pushing it that far to the people you hate us or saying. Now, as for my hero, this one's might be a little touchy for some people, but you're going to have to roll with me on this, okay? I saw a video on the internet yesterday, or not yesterday, it was the other day, and no, that's not the hero part that someone put a video on the internet, because there'd be a lot of heroes on the internet. It was of this cosplay duo. They were a couple, a girl and a girl, and they were dressed up as Link and Zelda. And I thought, okay, this is kind of cool. So I'm watching this video, and the two are talking, and all of a sudden, Link, female Link, gets down on one knee and pops out a ring and says, it's dangerous to go in alone. Please take this. And I'm like, did she just propose to cosplay? And so I watched the whole thing, and Zelda says yes. It's just a very beautiful moment.
That's so
and
cute.
I know. Now, if, regardless of whether you support gay marriage or not, I'm just saying this is beautiful because it's hard enough to propose to someone. Not that one. No, I'm single. You know, it's hard to propose to someone, but to do it in front of a group of people, and they were like in this cafe of sorts, and, you know, dressed up as Link and Zelda with everyone watching, that's guts. Okay? Not the character, like, the feeling. I want to make sure Will wasn't confused. You know, that was gutsy, and I'm like, I was so happy for these two, and I'm just like, that's beautiful to me, because they took their passion of cosplay, and they took their passion for Zelda and Nintendo, and this person said, I'm going to make this memorable, and I'm going to propose as Link to Zelda, because that's the ship that everyone wants to sail, especially after Breath of the Wild, is Link and Zelda. So I celebrate these two, because that's very heroic to me, that they went this extra mile to make, or especially Link went that extra mile to make this special for her Zelda, and that's pretty cool. So those are my heroes this week.
That was awesome.
You're welcome.
Glad to get those.
All right, Will, I think it's only fair because you didn't get to do this last time, and with our luck, you're probably going to drop out of Wi-Fi right now, so why don't you attempt to tell us your hater and your hero?
I mean, I pretty much, like, now I get the concept behind this idea, so it's kind of go a bit of hard on the spot. But regarding to the haters out there, like, when you said, like, when people just blow things out of proportion, I'm kind of in similar consensus, but regarding to probably one of the haters is... Damn it. I am drawing blanks right now. I am so sorry.
Do you want to go to Tyler? We'll wait.
Yeah, please do, because okay. I'm so professional that way.
That's right. You didn't do this before. All right, so I will start off with the hater. And my hater... You know, if you're listening and you play Fire Emblem Heroes, the odds are this is probably you. So, we've talked about Team Camilla and
yep.
our displeasure for the it's it, we talked about our displeasure for the Gauntlet, but I want to talk about my displeasure for Team Camilla specifically. And not you, Will. I know you're a fan. You know, you played Fate. You know, you're a fan of Camilla. That's great. My problem isn't even with people who just like Camilla for her appearance. My problem is with you people who just picked Camilla because you wanted feathers. And the joke is on you, because you're going to get less feathers for picking Camilla, because you get rewarded for your rank in your army, as well as you only get 500 feathers for winning. You get rewarded yep. for rank in army, and your total standing in, I think there's three things, but also your total standing out of everybody. And if you're on Team Camilla, you're not going to get a high rank in army, because everybody's on Team Camilla, and you're only going to get the points for winning. You're not going to get you could get easily, if you place two tiers higher on another team, if you went to Team Baruka, you could save flags. You could probably place high twice and easily get 1,000 more flags. But you all just said, oh, feathers. Let's just side with Camilla because she's going to win. We don't really care about Camilla, but we're just going to take her and we're going to get feathers and we're going to ruin the voting gauntlet for everybody else because we're just going to go on the winning side because we think Camilla's going to win. You all are haters. Actually, I kind of realize that I kind of sound like a hater.
it's okay to hate the haters.
But I'm hating them. We fully condone it. I am hating them, and they're haters because they hate fun. So, shame on you all. And meanwhile, I will be enjoying my high rewards for not using any flag. I've not spent one flag because I'm saving them all up because I will fight and die for Cordelia the next round. I have not used one flag. I've just played for the minimum free entry, and I'm already getting, let me see here, 21,000 feathers. Or not 21,000, yeah, 2,100 feathers. 2,100
feathers. I was about to say, if you're doing 21,000, I want to know what you're doing.
So,
think I've spent like five flags, and that was just for fun. But, you know, I forgot about, you know, how you get feathers in here and until like today. And so now I probably will do what you do and like wait till Cordelia and then fight to the death for she who should have been with Krom.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Yeah. So your hero?
Oh, my hero, really, I want to just go to the entire Fire Emblem Echoes team, but I can't do that. I'm going to single out three specific things, people, characters. The White Wing Sisters, Pala, Est, and Catria. I love the White Wing Sisters because I love Pegasus Knights. They're my favorite class, and they were the OG Pegasus Knights. So, automatically, I like them.
Right.
For those who don't know, they are in Fire Emblem Gaiden as well, because it takes place right around the same time as Marth's game, just on a different continent. And they fly, because they're Pegasus Knights, overseas, and they join Ulm and forces. They've just been releasing art for Fire Emblem Echoes, and it's amazing. I love it. But they released the art for the White Wing Sisters, Pala, Catria, and Est, and I told you guys this, I don't know if I said it on the podcast, but I love Pala. I think Pala's art in Heroes is amazing, and I kind of love her. And after seeing this, I just honestly, I almost wish I picked Team Pala instead of Team Cordelia, because she is adorable as her sisters. I love the art on this game. It's it's very vintage. It has a nice vintage look, which is awesome because it's a remake of an old game. But specifically, these three characters, I just love the way they've been reimagined, and I specifically love Pala. She is the greatest. So, hero, White Wing Sisters, mostly Pala.
Oh, so.
All right, how about now? Will you feeling better?
All righty then. I mean, this is kind of more of a bit of a cop out, but I'm gonna go with this one. So my choice for the Cup of Haters for my initial Cup of Haters segments, I'm gonna have to go with all the haters who are hating on Camilla.
Oh yes, no!
Yes, I'm going there.
That sound you're hearing is me muting Will right now.
Alrighty then, gentlemen, because I'm pretty much either you or anybody else that's listening to this podcast right now, like for everybody who is more or less been hating on Camilla because of just overall popularity. I mean, I'll grant you that, like, yeah, she's just more or less, like, yeah, great appealing, to say the least. Great appealing and all that, but there's one thing that's also that's most appealing to it is because if you have read the story behind Camilla, like, she more or less has a pretty darn tragic backstory. I mean, Hashtag spoilers. Basically, she was basically used from her mother to impress King Garen. And because of that trauma she felt it more or less left a hole in her heart. That what basically brings about her character, basically of why she is so obsessed with Corrin, as well as the other siblings, because she wants it to fill in that motherly feeling that she never once had experienced herself. So to people who just thought she was just physically appealing, hello, you should more or less just find out about the story behind her character. I mean, yes, she is definitely not the most perfect character. She's definitely not what 3D dimensional character at all, but she definitely has her reasons of why she is like this. And therefore, for all those who's kind of hating on her just because she is greatly physically appealing, shame on you. Shame on
Did
you
you
for
hear
a
that? Did you
hater.
hear that, Tyler? Greatly physically appealing. Not just the regular kind, greatly feeling.
Hey, I'm trying to keep it classy, thank you very much. I'm trying to be reclusive, thank you very much. But either way, so shame on you for all those haters on hating on Kamina and not really reading into her character. And in regard to my choice of hero, I mean, I could say Camilla again, but no,
You
that
would. You
would be too
would.
easy. But going on a different subject, on a different series, I guess my hero for I mean, just a hero that I can definitely say is, I'm gonna have to probably go with Zelda on this one, especially we're going to Breath of the Wild. I guess the reason, and I probably can like also go relate this thing to another real hero, like a physical real hero in the real life. But personally, for me, like the way that Zelda just really comes off in Breath of the Wild is, I guess she is just much more down to earth, even much more comparable to Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
Like the way I remember seeing her memory. Memory, yeah, the memories and her cutscenes. It kind of like this could be debatable, but basically she kind of like shows off that extra dimension of character that was missing in the previous incarnations of Zelda, especially I believe, especially compared to Twilight Princess Zelda.
Oh yeah, that was a shell. I'm serious.
Like the way that she experienced. Like she expressed herself, especially I don't know, probably it's just because the accent, I don't know, but the way she expressed herself, especially in that one memory scene, which she's just so nerdy in a way, especially when she picks up that hot-blooded frog, like go on, taste it,
That's a
like
great one.
That was a great one. Such a nerd.
and that scene became a meme, as everybody knows here, including our listeners. Like that cutscene became a meme throughout the entire internet.
I
It's
did not
like.
know that.
Have you not seen DeviantArt? Have you not seen the memes that's been made about
No.
since that cutscene?
Most of the memes I see for Breath of the Wild is about Rain. Most of
And
the ones I see are about Sidon and Mipha. Oh,
yes,
or
yes,
about
yes.
or wait, about who and Mipha?
Prince Sidon.
Yes,
Oh,
Prince
all
Sidon,
the
Prince
girls
Sidon.
love him.
Oh
I
yeah.
don't not see, I didn't see those either. I've
There's
also
a
seen
freaking
what
fan club for him.
I'm just
Yes.
saying. Deserved, undeniably, but I'm just saying. I honestly see ones about the Rain or the Guardians, like the walking along, you hear the music, you turn around, Guardian's about to kill you, that kind of thing.
But that particular scene, that particular memory is like a one of the birth, like really one that you just kind of took off. But I digress. Just the character of Breath of the Wild Zelda is just one, she definitely exudes much of personality. And I haven't, again, I don't know what's the final end of when you beat Ganondorf at the end, but the way that Zelda just basically holds herself against, again, the great ultimate evil of Ganondorf. It just kind of shows that it's definitely, yes, yeah, she is a princess, but her, it definitely shows that she is also just simply the person that she is. Like, also, if you remember in one memory scene, she expressed it like, if I wasn't a princess, if you weren't a soldier, like, what would you have been now?
That's a
Like,
good one.
it kind of gives
I
that
love that
extra
one.
philosophy,
That was my first memory.
that extra philosophy, like, that philosophical question, like, if it wasn't for class, if it wasn't for title, if it wasn't for like what I am, what I was born with, like what is it that I would have been right now? Could I have been another village girl? Could I have been another, like a goddess? Could I have been something else? Like
Scientist?
it kind of gives an extra layer of existential thought that really expresses her character so much more. Which, I mean, speaking as a philosophy major myself, it just really appeals to me greatly
Yeah.
when you like show off like much more existential thoughts, especially in game characters. And I don't know about you, I think we need a lot more wisdom in games. And funny
Nice. I
enough,
like. I see what you did there. I see what you did. Yeah.
Zelda is Wisdom. Is the reincarnation of Wisdom, so funny enough.
Read a piece of this week from the development team, and in an interview asked them why they made Ganon and Zelda the way they were in Breath of the Wild. And they went that Zelda acts like she is because the screenwriters who wrote the script were like, we really want to see this side of Zelda because we haven't seen that before. And the script was kind of tailored to how Zelda acts in those memories. And I thought that was really cool that they really pushed for that to happen. So, and I won't spoil what they said about Ganon because you guys aren't that far.
Yeah. Yes. I really need to go through the game.
Yeah, you guys need to, because I really want to talk about this, but I can't talk about this because I will ruin the game.
I know.
It's that big.
I'm almost there.
Yeah. I need to go through my two more pieces, though, then I will win. Okay, but in the end, yeah, like just that extra layer of like existential thought and wisdom from Breath of the Wild Zelda is the reason why I believe she is definitely my hero. And yeah, I could definitely go for another Onesama, but I'll definitely give this with yes, Breath of the Wild Zelda.
Yeah, I will applaud your restraint to not say that your hero was either Kamiya or Spring Festival Kamiya.
That would have been awesome. My hater is people who hate Kamiya, and my hero
is Kamiya.
Spring Kamiya.
It's like, no, I could see him doing it. My hero is Spring Kamiya because she dares to dress even more. I'm not even going to finish this
sentence. Oh, hey, 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 hey,
see. Moving on. So in our final segment today, we're actually going to talk about another piece of news that came out. Basically, Eiji Aonuma, you know, the big Zelda producer, talked about the future of Zelda games. And he basically said that from now on, Breath of the Wild is going to be the standard, the base plate, and that open world / open air games, as they call them in Japan, is going to be what you should expect from Zelda. And this has gotten actually a very interesting reaction from the community. And so we're going to sit down and talk about this in a Nintendo discussion. Yeah, gotta get my coffees. Got my 17 coffees. So, I kid you not, ladies and gentlemen. When I write articles, and I was the one who wrote this one, I post the article in like 3 to 4 to 5 Facebookers, depending on the topic. And this one literally like blew up my newsfeed because people kept commenting on this, people kept liking and reacting to this. Although, very ironically, only like half of them actually read the article. Not sure how that works, but okay. I'm just saying. But half of them, I gotta be fair, 2/3 of them were perfectly fine. You know, make the next Breath of the Wild, make it a little better, whatever. But others were like, I'm not so sure this is a good idea. Because Breath of the Wild was so beautiful, was so perfect, pretty close, you know, whatever. It's going to be hard to replicate, and there are some things in, you know, Breath of the Wild that we didn't like. I'm speaking as them, obviously. And so they're not sure this is the best way to go. So I want you guys to tell me whether you think this is the best plan for Zelda games in the future. Should they all be truly open world? Should they all have the freedom that Breath of the Wild had? Or should it at least attempt, in maybe a subtler way, to go back to what, say, Twilight Princess, Ocarina of Time, Majora's Mask, I won't count Skyward Sword because that was a very specific scenario, kind of went to. Will, I'll start with you.
Well, the way I'm seeing, because I remember, I'm not sure, like, this was back when, but when Skyward Sword was first released, like, it was previously compared to be, like, the so-called standard of Zelda games, Skyward Sword, and that was, like, saying something. Ever since the release of Breath of the Wild and hearing Eiji Aonuma, like, says that this could be the standard of Zelda, it definitely says a lot, because as everyone already knows, and this has been said many times over, Breath of the Wild definitely broke tradition in many ways. Gone is... Like, gone is the hand-holding. Gone is the lengthy tutorials. Like, once you, like, get a little taste of it, you're on your own, dude. Cook yourself. Like,
Good
yeah,
luck.
jump off the cliff. You're off to survive on your own. Sorry. Goodbye. Good luck. And it's definitely a very refreshing take for how it is, because as we grew up 30 years plus with Zelda, I mean, it's definitely, again, a breath of fresh air, naturally. But regarding to as make it as a standard, that's definitely kind of up in the air, if you ask me, because there's a reason why the traditional Zelda formula worked for so long, even though we have always complained that it's nothing new, it's the same Zelda game, another Zelda game, yada yada yada. It's because one thing that like I think it's that the traditional Zelda games definitely had rights is maybe because it's regarding to the old temples, because I don't know about you, like the Divine Beasts, while they were great mini t dungeons themselves,
Yeah.
it didn't really felt like the temples I grew up with.
I'm with
I
you.
mean,
A lot of
um,
people
it,
said
the,
that on the Facebook posts I posted on.
it, it I understand like probably that's coming from a traditionalist standpoint, but like I grew up with like the Rito, like the in Wind Waker, we're going to the Rito, like facing off, going through a giant volcano, or going through the Deco, the Woodhaven in the Deco Trees, like actually big levels to explore, to like actually find like tools, find like really explore what this dungeon can offer in regards to like the main story, because like the dungeons themselves actually serve a purpose, if you ask me.
Yeah, they do.
And regard to like the regarding to the Divine Beasts, while they also serve a purpose themselves, it's just again it wasn't truly expanded, because I guess I take it that wasn't really the main focus, as they want to focus on the open world. I mean, open world is definitely great, don't get me wrong. I love the open world, exploring, do whatever you want, hunt, is that those attributes I really enjoy thoroughly. But I don't know, maybe definitely expand upon it. Like for example, really give us a full-fledged dungeon, like what like the previous dungeons of old Zelda games of yore were like just great, because I remember like a couple of boss battles like in Skyward Sword, in Ocarina of Time, or in Wind Waker. Like I remember like famous boss battles that you know you have fun. Like this was a moment I could definitely look back to. Like I don't know, facing against like Shadow Ganon back in Wind Waker, or
Palavaga.
like that. Yes, or Goldera in the Re in Rito Island in Wind Waker. That was a fun battle, just swinging
Yeah.
along across. Like those boss battles are fun. So in regards to like making it as a like Breath of the Wild standard, I can, yes, that's a good start, but also like bring back like one of the things that made Zelda great, like the more in-depth dungeons. Like no, don't just give me the Divine Beasts, well, they are pretty much just mini puzzles, but basically give us another full-fledged dungeon. Like I don't know, something similar to Skyrim, like the dungeons actually serve an actual purpose, like tell you more of like what the environment, what the situation is around that surrounds it. So that's my suggestion anyway. In regards to like the whole answer of like what becoming a standard, again, add on to it. Basically add on to like what made the previous game Zelda great while continuing on with what Breath of the Wild started. That's for my answer.
Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, the more I play Breath of the Wild, right? I said that I would give it a perfect score, and I think I might not at this point because there are
Oh,
things.
I knew it was coming.
Yeah, there are things that I think that they could improve on, and I do think that, having just to answer the question, could they keep open world? I do think that they could keep it open world. I definitely do. I think that there are other ways they can keep the formula fresh. I think the reason Breath of the Wild has been so well received is because it mixed it up so much, so dramatically. I don't think that they need to necessarily, I would sacrifice the size of the world for the next Zelda game in exchange for, maybe cutting off the stamina system so you can pretty much climb wherever if they want to keep climbing in for a more and for a more hands-on plot, because I love the plot for Breath of the Wild, but I don't want that to be, I don't want that to be the future. When I hear them say that, I get worried that they're just going to say, okay, next Zelda game is exactly like Breath of the Wild. You just go out and you explore. You can go anywhere at any time. I'm good with most of that stuff, but I would like to see a dungeon system return where you have to go. And I would like to see, honestly, I would like to see the harkening back to the old days of you find an item that you need in a dungeon. I know that system get overdone, and I definitely, I I get that and I agree with that to an extent. But I do miss some of those old Zelda staples, and I do think that there's still a place for them in future Zelda games. I don't want them to keep the same exact formula that they used in Breath of the Wild and just recycle it. I think it'd be great if you could see, oh, here's, you know, Death Mountain, I'm going to go over to there. And, you know, you go up there and you go, oh, shoot, you know, I need a Kukurok leaf, so I got to go do this dungeon in Farron Woods to go get that item, you know, or just something like that, just off the top of my head, where you see stuff, you make a note of it, and you go somewhere else and you get what you need to progress in this area. I do like that direction a little bit. I kind of miss the direction. I love the way Breath of the Wild plays. I think it's perfect, or near perfect, and it's a great mix-up. If the next Zelda game came out and it was exactly like this, that would be a problem. And one more point before I pass it over to Todd, when I was just talking, it hit me. That's another big problem is they do another open world game. How are they going to mix up the places that you visit, right? Like Hyrule has Farron Woods. It has Death Mountain. It has Lake Hylia.
Zora's Domain.
Right.
Gruta Desert.
They've all been mapped out, and here they are in Breath of the Wild. Are they just going to put them in different places? You know, I think that'd be boring. I think that would be boring. So I want them to, if they do that, the next Zelda game shouldn't take place in Hyrule. I mean, which...
Pull Majora's Mask.
Majora's Mask, right, that's a good point. That took place in Termina, and it's an amazing game. So, I mean, there are other ways they could keep it fresh while keeping the same exact, you know, open-air style. But I wish that they would give us a little bit more direction in the next game, and they don't just get caught up in, oh, this game was one of the best ever made, which it... truthfully is.
It is.
And, you know, say, okay, Zelda conventions, they're done. You know, that's a part of an era past. I think there's still a place for some of those traditional conventions.
And then they probably did the whole debacle of where we place in the Hyrule story of timelines, but that's another story.
Don't. No, that's definitely another Nintendo discussion, and I'm almost out of coffee. well, I was drinking a lot while you guys were talking. So here's where I stand. First of all, you guys are actually ironically have mimicked a lot of what the Facebook comments that I've seen said. And let me just be clear. We're not saying, or he's not saying, Numa is saying it, that this next sequel, the next game is going to be like a direct copy of Breath of the Wild. What he's saying is that it's going to be the base plate, the standard of what it could be. I think that's truly what he meant. He's saying that the grandness that Breath of the Wild offered, the freedom that Breath of the Wild offered, that's what's going to be the standard from now on. Now, obviously, they're going to improve upon things because as many, you know, perfect reviews as they've gotten, there have been criticisms. And again, I gave the game a 4.8 out of 5 because I felt there were certain issues. And I have no doubt that Aonuma and his team are going to work really hard to make sure that these very small errors are going to be fixed. One of them is the dungeons. You know, the Divine Beasts were cool, and I liked how you could, you know, alter what they were doing so that they were, you know, standing a certain way, or like the bird would flip a certain way, or, you know, the elephant could raise its trunk to spray water. That was cool. But, you know, you didn't really need to do certain things. You didn't need to find that special item. You didn't need to do certain things that you expect in a Zelda dungeon. And I know, Todd, it's supposed to be a convention, you know, yeah, I get that. But there are things that we do like. And like those dungeons, you know, while they were technically hard in a certain way, like you had to actually have to think a certain way, they weren't exactly long. I mean, the boss fights were tough, sure, but they weren't exactly long, whereas regular, quote unquote regular Zelda dungeons, it do take a while. Because you have to go, you know, room to room. You have to find the map and then the compass and then the item and then the mini boss and then, you know, that kind of thing. There were no mini bosses in those dungeons. You know, that's another Zelda staple we kind of liked. So I would love to see the return of the dungeons. An idea is, how about you go link between worlds where you have the specialized dungeons, but you can go to them in any order. You know?
Yeah, I mean, that'd be perfect.
Yeah, like I could see like kind of a reverse on the towers that we had to go to get the map. Imagine if like after the first like the tutorial level, you see the dungeons activating and they shoot beams into the sky and it's saying, this is where you need to go. Pick one.
That would be really, really cool.
That would be cool, and I could see them doing that. Or if, you know, I kind of like the idea that we were kind of joking about, Tyler, take it out of Hyrule. What if we went back to Termina?
That would be
a different adventure, obviously, but I mean, it'd be just as, like, you know, Skyward Sword was to Hyrule, you know, before everything. What if we went to Termina hundreds of years after the event of Majora's Mask? What if we saw, you know, Clock Town expand and now it's Clock City? I don't know. We could go somewhere else. This team is so good at what they do. It would boggle my mind for them to take a step backwards in the terms of quality. Now, they could definitely go back to a streamlined experience, maybe not as, like, hand-holding as Will called it, but they know what works. They know what doesn't. And every single piece of feedback that they're getting will influence them the next time. Think about it. Skyward Sword was very limited in its areas, in where you were supposed to go, the size of the world. What was the next game? Breath of the Wild. Boom! Massive world. Okay? And, you know, freedom, you know, side quests everywhere, you know, that kind of thing. So they do learn. Now, that's not to say Skyward Sword was bad, Tyler. but, you know, that's the point. Like, there were people who did not like the more restricted feel, especially after, you know, what we have with Twilight Princess, which was a little more open, a little more callback to Ocarina of Time and even Lord of the Rings, as I heard in certain reviews. But then, you know, Breath of the Wild came out. I do want to see improvements. I do not want to see the weapons breaking, returning.
Yes, I agree.
Here's the best way I can sum that up. In the game, just randomly, I was doing a fight and I picked up a boomerang. Now, for anyone who knows Link, the boomerang is one of his most iconic weapons. It's been in, like, every single game. It's in Smash Brothers. You know, the boomerang is part of his attire. But I felt I had no use for it. I mean, it's a boomerang. I mean, it's not like I know, you know, it's going to come back to me and I have to aim it a certain way, whatever. I didn't feel like I could use it to the potential that I knew I could pass games. So I got rid of it and I never saw the bloody thing again. Okay? And it's just like, that's the kind of the problem, is that the boomerang is supposed to be this iconic thing. You love the boomerang. You love this thing. And yet I felt I had no need for it. And even if it did, it would break eventually. And it's just like, I just broke the boomerang. I'm like, and I would, and if I had done that, I still wouldn't have a boomerang to this day because I never found another one again. So it's just like, I get what they were doing with the weapon system, and I do appreciate what they did with the weapon system. It was very innovative, but I would like to have that more fixed system, you know? Now, yes, maybe you can still buy new weapons or you can, you know, get more and you still have an inventory system that is limited, but not like six, more like 30, you know?
Yeah.
So you do have to pick and choose. I'm just saying. So, and then there's obviously the question of 2D Zelda, you know, like top-down 2D Zelda. You know, we talked about that there's still a possibility that that kind of game could come to the Switch. So, you know, the possibilities are endless. And Breath of the Wild proved that they're not out of ideas. They're not even close. So who knows what the next innovation could be. I fully expect, obviously, an announcement at E3 for the next Zelda game. right next to Travis Touchdown being announced for Smash Brothers. So, just saying. But I think it's fair that they said, hey, we want to make more games like Breath of the Wild, but don't take it out of context, okay? Because if you do, you know what you are, right, Tyler?
Gullible.
The other word.
Hater.
That, yeah. Capahesh. Capahesh. So, yeah, there you go. And with that, we are going to end this episode of the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast. What do you want to see from the next Zelda game, 2D or Super 3D? Please let us know. Do you want to see it in Hyrule? Would you like to go back to Termina? Do you want to go to an entirely new land? Please let us know. What do you want changed from Breath of the Wild? Do you want the dungeons back? Do you want weapons to return to their old form? Do you want to see Zelda outside of memories? I'm just saying. no, I really don't like the memory system I did. You know, let us know. We'll talk about what you guys said next episode. And again, things can change. But next week, wait, we gotta do this right. Next week on the Nintendo Entertainment Podcast, the return of Cruncho. And the guys and her talk about the greatest Nintendo handheld system ever in Settle It in Smash. How was that?
That was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Now, again, we've been trying to do this for 2 weeks, but, you know, health and busyness got in the way. But she says she's likely going to be here next week. So we are going to have the second part of the Nintendo War, the Nintendo handheld war. Mm-hmm. And I will be representing the Game Boy Advance. Tyler?
I will be representing the 3DS.
Will?
And I'll be representing the Game Boy Color.
Yep. And Cho will be representing the DS. So four different people representing four key handheld consoles, or handheld items, I should say. So definitely stay tuned for that. So yeah, don't forget to tweet at us about what you thought of the show, potential entrance themes for future episodes. We would really like a suggestion for an epic theme for next week. We can find one if you don't, but we want to hear your suggestions. And hey, if you want to come on the show, just let us know. Our Twitter handles are here on theOuterHaven.net under this page for the podcast. So. For Tellius Tyler and Wario Will, I am Toro Riforce Todd. And ladies and gentlemen, we are out of time. We are not out of lives. We have made it to the end of the level. So, raise the flag.